Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
We'll hit the high school hoops from last night. What's going on tonight at the end of the show? We'll wrap the week with the high school hoops talk. There was one district game, a couple of district game last night in the area. More tonight, more on Saturday. Elk City and Merritt take the court tonight as well. Super Bowl, talk about advantages each team has, keys to the game. Who's going to win? Who's going to be the MVP? Oh, Jared hit the MVP dead on that Rams. The last time the Rams were in the Super Bowl, when the Rams played New England, I think you had Julian Edelman as the MVP, and he was that night. So, see if he can continue that. But first and foremost, right off the top of the show. Now, it's not going to be a complete sampling because we're still three flavors short, but the long show nightmare is sort of over. It's finally. I feel like it's happening. Guys.
I hear a choir singing in the background. The light has been shine upon us. The horns have been blown. They're da 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 da. It's here.
We have four flavors of the Little Debbie ice cream: cosmic brownie, Swiss cake roll, oatmeal cream pie, and strawberry shortcake roll.
The anticipation is huge. From what, because you put out a post last night on our Facebook page.
Yes, probably the most liked.
This is a sports show. Yeah, but the most reaction we get from our listeners is food.
Oh, no doubt.
And now
it's all spring about, because remember, it's been what, a year? We were just kind of chatting, and all of a sudden, Little Debbie snack cakes came up, and the text line exploded.
Blew up. And we tried to use that to our advantage with the whole rib talk.
We got
a rack of ribs.
Our man Tim Bagby.
No one else was up to the challenge. They didn't want to challenge Tim, and I get it.
We should have never done that video because they saw how good his were, and everybody's like, never mind.
You rated it too high. That's why I kind of looked at it like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we should have.
We got it lower.
We should have.
No offense to Tim's ribs. They were fantastic, but.
We should have alerted him that, listen, Tim, we're going to rate yours lower than they really are. That way we can get people to try to beat you. They can go, oh, I beat Tim's ribs. And then you can say, they just playing you.
Yeah.
They just did that so that you would do it. Yeah, you're looking back on that.
And then maybe get another rack of ribs from Tim.
Yeah, and then go, ha, just kidding.
Actually, Tim's
were
the best.
Better the whole time. Sorry about your luck.
But back to the point at hand. We got ice cream, four flavors. We're going to give it a taste.
We're missing zebra cake. We're missing honey bun. And we're missing the nutty bar.
So this is like part one of possibly two, maybe even three.
Yeah. This quest isn't over until we try all seven.
We try all of them.
At least it's finally begun here this morning. So we're going to get right to it. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. You can log on to KADSAM.com, hit the play button, you live stream us that way, or download the Paragon app. The app has all things, three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, brand new addition to the Penny News. Hit the website this week, just a couple of days ago. You can also go out and find a free copy of the Penny News to check out the deals in this week's edition. We've got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, which will be online tonight with all kinds of high school basketball. We'll tell you about it at the end of the show. Then also, if you miss a show entirely, you can go back and listen to Skinny on Sports podcast, KADSAM.com, also iTunes. All right, Jared. What order do you think we should go? Part of me thinks we should split the chocolates.
Okay.
Part of me thinks.
Because you want to. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But part of me thinks you want to have different. You know, I think you need to start with chocolate and end with chocolate.
Agreed.
Okay.
So let's start with the chocolate. Your show, you pick.
Okay, we're going to start with cosmic brownie.
Cosmic brownie. Where's my spoon? Got it.
To describe, it's got little pictures of the cosmic brownie, Little Debbie on the front. It's kind of what do you call that, a light blue top. It's kind of rainbowy, just like the.
You're painting the picture here of what the actual.
Hey, this is a radio show, Jared. can't see it. We're not cool enough to have a webcam.
Like. No one cares what it looks like.
Okay, so now
what it tastes like.
It's got like a what you call it, a foil kind of top.
Yeah,
that seals
like a
it
yogurt
in.
Top.
Yeah, sealing in the freshness. When I look at this, it is just kind of a milk chocolate look to it. You can see that there are like little hunks of brownie and also like the little colored-y candies on top.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got my
spoonful. You got your spoon? Okay.
Hand it over to Jared.
That is a big spoonful, by the way.
Well, the idea is to make sure you get brownie and the chips and the ice cream itself all in one bite. You don't have to eat it all at once, but you want to have the opportunity to have everything.
All right. I am ready to go. Did you already? Okay. Should we taste at the same time? Give our impressions?
Go ahead.
Here we go. I'm chewing because there's a chunk.
There's definitely a chunk of brownie in there, and it tastes just like the cosmic brownie. The texture of it, I've seen this before. I've watched people do what we're doing. Mm-hmm. You know how some ice creams, when you have them in the freezer, they don't harden, but they're more solid, and you have to let it sit out for a while before you can actually scoop it out? This is the complete opposite of that. This is more of a soft-serve ice cream, like you think of it's softer. It's more velvety texture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, because I've had these in the freezer all night long since I've got here, and we just set them out of the ice chest just now, and it was no problem scooping it out, if that makes sense.
Right.
Chocolatey, for sure. The brownie, if you get bites of brownie, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not the best.
I like, are we rating these? I'll
tell you what we'll do. We'll overall grade.
Let's wait till we taste them all.
And then we're also going to put them in order. Our most favorite, or least to most favorite.
Understood. Okay.
I hope that's not the best.
It wasn't bad.
But it's not bad.
It's not bad. But we got others to try, so we're going to try it.
Okay, text line. Surprise Jimmy Clark. Yeah, me too. It's too early for Jimmy Clark to get here.
He'll sniff it out when he gets here.
Our man, Monty. I really thought we might see Monty Tucker in here with a spoon. He's been anticipating this as well. He's got this next one as a 2-1 favorite. The next one we're going to try is going to be strawberry shortcake rolls ice cream.
Okay.
Dakota thought Cosmic Brownie would be the winner. I hope he's not right.
I think between, we don't have the Nutter Butter in here.
Yeah.
But I think between that one and this one, because those two seem like a natural marriage for ice cream.
I would agree.
Okay.
Okay. Strawberry shortcake rolls ice cream. It's vanilla ice cream looking with some, you can see the swirly of what you assume to be strawberry jelly. So I would dig in right there where the strawberry jelly is.
I'm already going to tell you, this looks great.
You can smell strawberry.
Yes,
if you
can.
You just put it up to your nose.
Oh, and I think I got a little bit of the breading of.
Oh, there's breading in there too?
I think I got some of that. Ooh, look at this chunk. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
This is good.
That one's going to be hard to beat.
It is.
That one's going to be really hard
to
beat. Vanilla ice cream, once again, the same. The texture's going to be the same in all these. It's nice and velvety. It's not as sweet.
That's a good one.
It's not as sweet, maybe, as the other. Golly, that strawberry is good.
That is good.
Okay, that one's
really
good.
It wasn't like a filling strawberry. It is actual. That was a chunk of strawberry. I got a little. It felt like.
Yeah, it's like the jelly-ish kind of stuff.
Yeah. This is a good one. Okay, what's next?
Ooh. Okay, hang on. Let me throw these away.
That was a good one. So 2 out of 4 down, 2 more to go. Swiss rolls. We decided the Swiss rolls is last, so we're going to go with oatmeal cream pie, which you had high hopes for.
Yeah, I think, we were talking off air. I think everybody has high hopes for the oatmeal cream pie one because I think oatmeal cream pie is kind of the staple of the Little Debbie snack cake line, right? I mean, it's kind of the one that everybody likes.
Yes, that was always, I was again, off air, we're talking about this, and I got the good analogy for this. It's like a movie that you loved as a kid, and then years later, they come out with the sequel, finally, and it doesn't live up to the original. Now, is this going to be Ghostbusters Afterlife, because the original Ghostbusters was awesome and the new movie was pretty good? Or, you know, I anticipate the new Top Gun to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But will it be?
Okay,
we'll
this
have to wait
is
and find out. I don't know.
It's definitely like a vanilla looking ice cream, but it's darker to me than what the strawberry was, right?
Mm, yeah.
So there's
yeah, I see what you're saying.
I've read what it is. So I know they're trying to mimic not the cream, but the whole taste of it. And then of course there's a hunk of what looks to be the cookie part of a
which is
of
what
an
I
oatmeal
got
cream
on
pie.
My spoon.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. I gotta admit, it's not blowing me away. Definitely taste the oatmeal. Almost a minty taste. I mean, it's not bad, but...
Here's the deal. It's not what you want it to be.
Right.
It's not... I think you want the ice cream to mimic the cream because there's the hunks of the oatmeal in there.
Yeah.
They're trying to get the ice cream to mimic both.
Right.
I'm going to tell you. I watched my family eat this. I watched the taste testers eat this on a YouTube video.
Yeah.
I like it way better than I thought I was going to after seeing those things.
Okay. So you're okay. So
I'll be honestly, for me, it tastes like you want it to without the hunks of the cookie in there.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
The cookie almost over accentuates, because I know they put a little molasses into the ice cream, the vanilla ice cream, to try to get that flavor. It's almost like when you eat the cookie, it overdoes it. Like it brings that flavor out too much, and so it takes away from the ice cream being the cream filling of the cream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like they almost, if they wouldn't have put any flavor to the vanilla ice cream, it would have been exactly what you wanted it to be.
Now, listen.
If you get
if it was in my freezer, I'd eat it. I'd eat it. But as
I have a clear top. I have a clear order right now. There's no doubt. I didn't know if I would or not.
I think we might be on the same path.
I have a
but
clear
we got
order.
One more to try here.
I have a clear order. There's no doubt.
Okay, going for the fourth and final one today.
Swiss cake roll.
Swiss cake roll.
It's the same kind of color as what the brownie one was. It's kind of a milk chocolate look to it.
Question, how many of these did you buy? I know you bought the four flavors, but how many containers did you buy?
Two of each.
Two of each.
Mm-hmm. Two of each. Okay.
Freezer space? I should have threw you some money to bring home me some of these.
I can see. Okay, just looking at it. As I said, milk chocolate. You can see there's little chunks of what you assume is the cake.
Right.
And then there's some lighter in there, so that's probably what the cream, you know what I mean? The cream in the middle
the
of the Swiss cake roll.
Yep.
This is the one that I want to be good. I want this one. I want this one to be the best.
Okay.
In my mind.
Because these are great. Here we go.
Oh, daddy. I'll tell you what. It for sure tastes the most like the snack cake.
Exactly. That's where for I was, that's
sure
what I was going to say.
Mimics the taste of the snack cake the most.
Yes, it does. Yeah, that's good stuff too. Listen, they're all good, but we gotta put them in order here.
Okay.
So, what is your favorite? No, do you want what's your least favorite? Let's go.
Least favorite for sure is Cosmic Brownie.
Cosmic Brownie's least favorite
for sure.
Okay.
For sure, my least favorite.
I'm gonna go with the oatmeal cream pie. That was my least favorite. It was good. Just out of these four, if I'm going to have to choose three out of four, I'm picking the other three. So that's where I'll go. Oatmeal cream pie, number four for me. What was number three for you?
Oatmeal cream pie.
Oatmeal cream pie. Okay.
It was better than I thought it was going to be. Like I said, before I saw anybody, after I saw people taste test it, it was better than I thought it was going to be. Here you go. You want to put that on there. So
you know what
everywhere.
This is like?
But it's not quite, like I said, when I first tasted it, before I chomped down on the cookie part, I was like, yes, this is delicious. And then once I tasted the cookie, it over accentuated. There wasn't any cream taste to it. When you first taste it in the ice cream only, you're like, yep, that's it. And then you chomp down on the cookie part, and you're like, ooh, that's too much. Too much. Okay, hang on. This is a great idea, because I'm struggling with the order of the other two, and Dakota says one more bite for the semifinal round. I think we're both in agreement. Cosmic brownie, oatmeal cream pie. I mean, if that's all they had, you'd eat it.
Right.
But these other two are better.
I'm right there with you. This is like the final four in March Madness or the college football playoff. We got four good teams here, but we have to have two
losers.
Okay,
let's do it. Okay, so, yeah, let's go back in. I'm going to go back in here to you, if you want to do that one, you can go back into that
I'll
one.
I'll go back into Swiss.
You're going to do Swiss roll and see here's something.
This is clearly our final here. Swiss rolls ice cream, and you have the
strawberry shortcake
rolls.
Now, I don't know that I got a piece of the shortcake roll the first time.
Oh, well.
In the strawberry, I know I do now. I'm looking at it. It's kind of a yellow cake looking outside of it's a clear delineation in the color between the ice cream and the cake, and of course the jelly's right there.
Mm. Yeah, I made sure to get some of the roll, if you will, into my bite.
Okay.
Trade you here. I'll give you a trade. There you go. Okay. I'm going to do what you said. Try to get a little bit of everything here. I have the strawberry shortcake roll. You got the Swiss. Okay. I mean, we might be going to overtime here.
Okay.
I have a winner.
I do too. And I don't think we're going to have the same winner.
Okay. We could be arguing for the next 40 minutes.
I don't think we're going to. Okay. I don't just. Because here, let me ask you this. If we go into overtime, I don't think you want to switch.
No.
Yeah, and I don't
Here's
either.
The deal.
I like what I've got
I
on my
eat
side.
I can this strawberry shortcake roll, this serving in one sitting. Yeah. Probably not ideal. Probably go straight to my thighs, but I could eat all this sitting down. I want to do it right now during the show. It's too early to eat ice cream.
I'm the same way.
But that's my winner.
You got strawberry winner. I've got Swiss cake rolls winner.
Okay, and here's another part of it, and it's always been a preference of mine. I don't like straight up chocolate ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like chocolate. I like a little bit of chocolate. I like chocolate syrup on my vanilla ice cream. I don't mind the Swiss rolls ice cream, but
I may eat the whole pint. I'm glad you don't. I'm glad.
Listen, I was just told we were just told before we came on air we might get some. Some hamburgers from one Jimmy Clark for lunch. I'm going to try to keep an empty stomach for that, which I tried to do before this because I didn't touch the donuts in there.
I didn't.
We're going to be eating well.
This
today.
Is kind of gross, but I didn't even brush my teeth this morning because I didn't want it to affect the taste test.
thank
this
you
morning
for telling me that.
There you go. Switch me lids. Okay. Yeah, for me, it's the strawberry is really good, and I think here's the deal: the strawberry, honestly. Had no chance. And here's why.
For you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because I don't remember eating very many of those. So I don't have quite the frame of reference of what it's supposed to taste like.
Yeah.
It's good ice cream. There's no doubt about it. And you're right. It had an inherent advantage because strawberry and ice cream go so well together.
Yes. Yeah.
But that Swiss cake roll tastes just like the Swiss cake roll I ate two nights ago. Except for its ice cream. They got just enough of the swirly cream action in there to accentuate. I mean, as soon as you tasted it, you could have a blindfold on. And as soon as you tasted that ice cream, you would know what kind it was.
Right.
Like, even if you didn't even know these existed, you would go,
oh, that tastes
like a Swiss cake roll.
Yeah.
Is that little debt? What in the world?
Yeah.
You would say that. It's that. And because I love them so much, that was... Strawberry is probably the better ice cream, But for me, it had zero shot to win because the Swiss cake roll tasted too much like a Swiss cake roll, and I love those.
It is as advertised, basically.
All were good, honestly, even the brownie one.
Yeah, they're all good.
And it got enough of the chunk of brownie to where it reminds you. But those two, the Swiss cake roll and the strawberry shortcake roll, were just better ice creams. And so...
Well, like I said, it's like a final four. You're going to get four good teams regardless, right? Like at the state tournament coming up at the end of this playoff run, that Friday is going to be a bunch of good games because we got a bunch of good teams remaining.
I'm looking back through my text. Swiss cake roll will win this group. For me, it did. And so Nutty Bar, which to me is the one I can't wait to taste the most.
Yeah.
Because chocolate and peanut butter go so well together.
Yeah.
You've got Zebra cake, and you've also got honey bun. We have left to taste, and then we can filter those into these rankings.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, those other three are going to have to be pretty good to top strawberry roll and Swiss cake roll.
Now, let me ask you, when you did this search, you found these over in Weatherford. Did they have all seven flavors?
No, they had these four.
These four, okay. Because yes. It might have answered our question was maybe why are those sold out and these aren't?
Yeah, or they didn't get them. Because what's weird is it seems like, now I'm trying to remember, this may not be in the case in Altus, though, because when I was late to the pickup in Altus Tuesday night, I think, if I remember right, oatmeal cream pie and Swiss cake roll were the two taken off my list.
Ah.
So that means if we had had those five, I'm pretty sure that was right.
Right.
It may not be. I may be making that up. I can't go back and look. I guess I could probably, but I deleted that order. But anyhow, all in all, I'd say very good. Very good on the first two, the top two that both of us had. And you wouldn't not eat the other two.
Exactly.
You would not. You would never just go, oh, nope, I'm not eating that. I think most people are going to be disappointed in oatmeal cream pie. Because it doesn't taste quite like an oatmeal cream pie.
Right.
I was actually pleasantly surprised because I was preparing myself for disappointment. Now, pleasantly surprised how good it was. I really am. I was preparing it for it not to be the best.
Right.
And to actually be the worst. And I did. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Now, I mentioned on Facebook, on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page, my family tested last night. They had a clear winner, and they agreed with you. The strawberry. I mean, you could see, you could literally, because they started out, they had the brownie and the oatmeal cream pie in reverse order than we did. But then they had the strawberry one third, and you could just see them both, like, their faces lit up, like, oh my gosh, that's good. So they agreed with you. They both had brownie last. Kara liked oatmeal cream pie better than Swiss cake roll, why it was the other way, and why it continued to question her throughout the night as to why in the world she would have it ranked that way. But, all right, there you have it. The first four. We finally got that done.
Yeah, that
hopefully we can find the other three in a timely fashion so we can rate the rest. But everybody,
not bad.
I was amazed at the curiousness of everybody from around.
Yeah.
Wanting to know.
A lot of people.
You actually got... tips on how to taste test this stuff.
Yeah.
We went ahead and swallowed it. It was good. We'll be back. Don't put that on. Man, we need to do that every day. Figure out something. That may be the only way I can talk my wife into let me eat ice cream before 10. Like, hey, honey, it's for the show. I don't know what to tell you.
Research purposes, hon. You can do it at home and go, hey, we need to research some stuff.
I'm actually glad the way that vote went with them because some of it that I'll want to eat at home will be the ones they didn't like. So this may work out even better than I thought into my advantage. All right, Super Bowl coming up this weekend. What do you think is the biggest advantage for each team going in?
L.A., I think clearly the defensive line and how they match up against Cincinnati's offensive line or defensive line. If they can get pressure early and often, which isn't necessarily a recipe for success against Cincinnati, as you saw how Tennessee was all over Joe Burrow, but Tennessee didn't really take advantage offensively. But yeah, for me, I think that is for the Rams, their ability to control the line of scrimmage defensively and create havoc. For Cincinnati, but man, I almost want to say the skill position, but then I look at Cooper Kupp. Then I almost want to just go, I don't know. I mean, quarterback is almost a wash. Kicker? But I'm not ruling Cincinnati out, like, from having a chance. You know what I mean? But maybe the kicker, you know? I mean, how many times have we seen in a ball game, any ball game, where a team just stays in it by kicking three consecutive field goals and the defense still doing enough, and all of a sudden it's 9-6 going at halftime? You know what I mean? So maybe kicker. Maybe special teams.
I really think it's kicker. I'm not kidding.
I wasn't trying to be funny.
It's funny you said that.
I was like, I was going, you know, position by position versus position. I keep going back to kicker. I mean, he's been automatic this playoff run. I don't see that changing.
Well, it's one of those things where if it's a close game down at the end, you know, Cincinnati has to get, you know, let's say they get the kickoff in an overtime even, something like that.
Yeah.
They only have to move to, like, the Ram 40 before you feel pretty confident that McPherson's going to make it.
Right.
I mean, what is the distance where you go, I'm not sure if he's going to make this one? 60? You know what I mean? I'm
right,
serious.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And that's such a pretty big weapon. Now, here's the problem. I agree with you on the Rams side, too, because the Rams, if you look at the next-gen stats, NFL's next-gen stats, the Rams ranked first in play in a pass rush win rate. The Bengals, 30th out of 32.
Ow.
They were 25th or worst at pass block win rate at every single position, which means the O-line, the tight end, and the running back. And this will feature only the third matchup in the Super Bowl where an offense was sacked 50-plus times during the regular season and a defense racked up 50-plus sacks. I mean, that is a huge advantage. And to that point, I think that's where – I think if you just talked about quarterback versus quarterback as just players, sure, I think you could say equal – whatever. But the problem is Joe Burrow's liable to be running for his life where Matthew Stafford is protected pretty well most nights. And so that gives an advantage, I think, to the Rams as far as being able to protect Stafford. I mean, you mentioned the Tennessee game where 9 sacks by the Titans and the Bengals found a way. There's no chance in the world they can get away with that this time. And we said that same thing against the Chiefs, and guess what? They gave up one. Now, he was Harry Houdini a couple times, Burrow was, but that just goes with the territory, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can slip out of 2 out of 3, okay. But now when he's trying to slip out of, you know, 6 out of 15, that's where it becomes a humongous issue.
Yes.
I there's part of me that thinks the Rams are just going to destroy the Bengals because they can't protect Burrow. But there's another part of me that's sitting here that thinks all at the same time, if they can, we may see you know, remember when you asked Jim about coming out party, and he's like, he's already out. I agree to that to a certain extent, but I think we could see something super special out of him if they can give him time.
Yeah.
If they can give him time, because I don't think, and he has shown, whether it be on the NFL level, the college level, whatever it's been, in the biggest games, he has played his best. He has shown that ability to be able to be the star of stars in these huge games. That's there, but can they give him enough time to do it? I think it's weird because I think for the Bengals to win, and I know they've kind of held the score down in a lot of these playoff games to where they've been able to kind of make a defensive play at the end. I don't think they're going to be able to do that this time. I think they need this score to be pretty high, because if not, I think that means that the Rams' defensive line are just destroying their offense.
Right. Yeah, but to that point where if you're the underdog, and I've always gone here, if you're the underdog and you want a chance to win, you got to start, I think, on defense. If you can get to midway through the second quarter and you're only trailing 7-0, that's when that belief starts to seep in. Go, guys, we're right there. A couple breaks come our way. We can go into the halftime locker room tied up, maybe even with a 10-7 lead. So I think that's another key for, you know, Cincinnati is keep it low scoring, if that, you know what I mean?
I
know what you're saying.
I disagree completely.
I know what you're saying, trying to.
I just think they're going to have to score points to win.
Well,
if they
I
don't think they can win this game 17-14, or, you know what I mean? I think they're going to have to.
Where I'm going is I think that's where it starts. And then, because they're going to come in tight. They're coming in. I mean, it's a home field advantage for L.A., and L.A.'s everybody's favorite, and we mentioned the defense and all that stuff, and they got a pretty good offense with Cooper Kupp and OBJ and others. So if they can keep those guys down long enough to where they all settle down and then Joe Burrow gets comfortable, and then you can start seeing score for score. I mean, it could be like I said, a 10-0, 10-7 game going into the second quarter or halfway through the second quarter, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's a final score of 31-24.
Yeah, we've seen some games like that. You know, I think about the Steelers-Cardinals explosion there at the end.
Yeah.
A few years ago, Pats-Panthers was kind of like that. There's been some like that.
I mean, everybody's going to be tight.
Interested to see how Zach Taylor comes out, because before Kansas City's offense just disintegrated in the second half, I was ready to come in here and rip him to shreds because of the game plan. And it was so vanilla and so close to the vest while Kansas City's running up and down the field. Like, what are you doing? Your best player, you're taking the ball out of his hands. I mean, Mixon's been fine, and he's a fine running back. But just running it into the line on first down to get a 2nd-and-9, it's silly. And they did it. Oh, and listen, the results shown in their favor. But if that game is 21-3 and played 100 more times, Kansas City wins that game, almost all of them.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And so that can't happen. I mean, you've got to me, you're talking about being tight. That's the worst thing, because if that happens, then I'm afraid that leads to conservatism with the play calling and not letting – I mean, if I'm a Cincinnati fan, if I'm your brother-in-law, I'd rather go down with Joe Burrow swinging and throwing 4 picks than I would letting Mixon run it 25 times for 65 yards, and it's just a blah game that you lose 21-10 and you never really were in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You go down throwing your fastball. And then if you can work your changeup in the way they've been able to a little bit with Mixon throughout the year, that's fine. But this run pass, the way they were kind of starting against Kansas City when they fell way behind, that won't work. I just don't think so. I mean, it's amazing to me that they're even here. You look back at those games, you're like, well, how in the world did they win? How in the world did they beat Tennessee on the road when their quarterback got sacked 9 times? How did that happen?
Yeah.
And then or 2 weeks ago in the AFC title game, you're just looking around after that game is over going, what just happened? How did Kansas City blow that?
Right.
But that I guess at the end of the day, if you're the Rams and you let Cincinnati hang around, then they get into that spot where, hey, we're pretty comfortable here. We've been here. We're fine. We got Joe Burrow on our team. And by the way, a defense that has made – clutch play after clutch play throughout these games. That's the sneaky thing about Cincinnati's run. It's, of course, Burrow's getting all the credit in the world, and he deserves some of it. But the truth of it is, it's been the Cincinnati defense that's kind of won these games for them. You know, the pick at the goal line against the Raiders, another pick there against the Titans, and, of course, turning the entire game around in the second half against Kansas City was just off the charts defensively for the way that they played. And so I know the team of destiny, everybody's talking about it today and will throughout the weekend until the game kicks off. I'm just wondering if Von Miller and Aaron Darnold they're just going to jump all over Cinderella's slipper and break it to shreds.
Yeah. I'm interested. It's all about how it starts for me. like I said, how it all starts for Cincinnati. If LA comes out, gets the ball, goes straight down the field, scores, gets a three and out, does it again, it might be over by half. So to me, for a Cinderella to have a chance in this one, I want to see how it starts.
Yeah, no, you'd say that, then they came back for 21-3 down at Arrowhead.
That is true.
You know, that's what the crazy part of it is.
Yeah.
Is you think it would go the other way. They were up 21-3 and just held on for dear life as Mahomes and those guys came back at him. Instead, it was the other way around. That game still doesn't make any sense. But so who do you think wins?
As much as it pains me, I would love to see Cincinnati win. I just don't see it. I think it's L.A., but I think it's a lot closer. I mean, it's a four-point spread. And that's a pretty close spread. But I see it to be like – I can see it be a three-point game. But I think it's never – I think Cincinnati keeps it close throughout. The world's rooting for them because, again, the world loves an underdog, right? Everybody roots for the underdog. Yeah, but I think it is L.A. who wins it by three. It's going to be an exciting – I think it will be an exciting Super Bowl. Do I have to give you a score?
Preferably.
Okay, I'll go with 27-24.
Rams. Yeah, I think the Rams win. I think they're going to whip them. I don't think Cincinnati can block the Rams. I just don't. I think, you know, Burrow's going to do all he can do. And they may even start out nice, you know, hit a play to Chase or what have you. But eventually that Rams defensive line is going to dominate this game because Cincinnati can't block them. And, you know, Kansas City's defense is pretty good throughout the year after a slow start, but they ain't Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd. They ain't that, what they're going to see. And eventually that's going to wear them down, and then the Rams are going to – dominate the game after that starts. And when that starts, if you're a Bengals fan, you hope it doesn't, obviously, but the longer you can keep that from happening, the better shot you got. But I think the Rams are going to win, let's say 31-14, 31-17, something like that.
Okay.
And Matthew Stafford, that's the crazy thing. Matthew Stafford, for as maligned as he's been throughout his career, he's here in the Super Bowl. No one's even talking about him. And I think that's a good thing if you're the Rams, because all the attention is on Burrow.
Right.
Except for the couple of jokers that are starting to compare, if Stafford wins, can we compare him with Rodgers? Because Rodgers only has one Super Bowl. Never mind the fourth MVP he won last night, trailing only Peyton Manning for the most ever in the league. Don't worry about that part of it. But I hope it's a better game than that. You know, I really do. And I had the same feelings about Kansas City and Cincinnati, and I was wrong because the offense just disintegrated around Patrick Mahomes' feet, or maybe he melted down or whatever you want to call it. But I just don't get the sense that this Rams team is going to do that. I just don't. And I'm afraid Zach Taylor's going to try to run it too much to do what you're talking about. We're the underdog. Let's try to keep it close. And that's not – they're going to – I'm afraid they're going to figure it out too late. Oh, and then be done and going, damn.
Should have started with that.
If we'd have just let Burrow sling it around, we'd have been right there. And that's the way that Kansas City game was going, where, you know, they scored before halftime, and you're like, where has this been? Let him throw the ball.
Yeah.
Idiots. What are you doing?
Well, maybe they do.
Maybe they do. There's part of me that can see that, too, and him coming out slinging, and then we're in for a 38-35 great Super Bowl. I hope it's
that
way.
Here's the deal for – here's what Cincinnati's got going for them. And it's been like this through this entire playoff run. They're winners either way. They're not supposed to be in this game. Okay? So if they lose close, hey, they're the up-and-coming team. Congratulations. You guys were awesome. L.A. was supposed to win this game. They were going all in at the beginning of the year. Throughout the year, they continued to go all in. So they're supposed to win this game. But if Cincinnati wins this game, I mean, the more pressure is what I'm saying is on L.A.
See, I'm not sure if that's right.
You don't think so?
Because with what is in the AFC, with those quarterbacks, those young quarterbacks, I think you better, if you're here, you better take it. Because it's going to be, I mean, think about next year. Now, we don't know what the Rams are going to look like exactly, but AFC versus NFC, road to the Super Bowl, dear God, is way different. You know, especially if Rodgers moves to the AFC, you don't have Brady. Whatever Kyler's hissy fit is about, is he still going to be there? You know who's about to have a ton of pressure on him if things go this way throughout the offseason? You know who's going to go into the season next year with the most pressure on him in the entire league?
Who's that?
Dak Prescott.
Oh, yeah.
If the quarterbacks keep going keep moving out of the NFC, it's going to be, right now it looks like him and Kyler and maybe Stafford, depending on what they do, and obviously Russell Wilson, but that time looks like it's over as far as the team in Seattle. Maybe not the Wilson time, but as far as the team being a true contender,
right?
That looks like it's over for now before they rebuild that thing. And then by the time they get it done, is he still the quarterback?
Yeah.
So you're looking at Kyler and you're looking at Dak as the young guys, and then Stafford thrown in there, depending on what the Rams are. I mean,
yeah.
But that's where, to me, because it's going to be so hard to get back, and because of the way they got there, I mean, outside of a few people, nobody really thinks Cincinnati should be there, but they are. And you know what? Sometimes when that happens, that team goes ahead and wins.
Yeah.
Because they are there, and they've got that kind of mindset of, we got nothing to lose, and we're going to win this game, because there's not a situation in this game coming up on Sunday that is any more dire than they've already got out of. It doesn't get any more dire down 21-3 in the AFC title game at Arrowhead with Mahomes just cruising up and down the field. It gets no more dire than that. And they somehow escaped out of that lion's den, so maybe they can do it again, but give me the Rams. Give me the Rams pretty easily, too.
MVP, we're going to do that next.
Yeah, we'll do that next, and then we'll talk about the high school basketball. And maybe a little Harden trade.
I heard an interesting rumor yesterday.
Maybe a little Harden trade there as well. Question on the text line, did we see the Andrew Whitworth speech? Okay, it was at the Walter Payton Man of the Year last night. In the NFL honors.
Well, I know he accepted it in a large, crowded building.
Yeah.
You know,
that was playing in the restaurant we were at eating at Weatherford, actually.
So what are we doing? We got Super Bowl coming up, and all we hear all season long, COVID restrictions.
They actually didn't have those players in with everybody else.
Okay.
They were on their own locations with their teammates.
So he wasn't in there?
He wasn't in the Giant, or at least the Bengals weren't in the Giant building. They were off to the side or kind of on their own, because I know Ja'Marr Chase won the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And he was in with the group that kind of had him like zoomed in from a off-site location or at least not in the main hall, let's say. I didn't see the Whitworth deal, so maybe he was there because it's L.A. Were they in L.A.? Were they in Vegas? Where were they at?
I really don't know. I don't know.
I saw part of it. You know,
just somebody texted me last night about that. I'm like, what are we doing here?
You know? Something was pretty interesting. Well, you know what they're doing? They're not testing. They're not testing a soul before the Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? No one's not playing the Super Bowl because of COVID, right? Surely not.
Right.
That ain't happening. So I was kind of keeping my eye on Wyatt was watching it too, while we were eating, and so the awards I saw were a couple that they handed out, like Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and so then they got to Defensive Rookie of the Year, and of course there was like nominees, and then they told you who won.
Yeah.
Defensive Rookie of the Year. They just showed highlights of Micah Parsons. They didn't even bother with the charade of putting anybody else up as a nominee. You know what I mean? They were just like, okay, well, he's going to win, so here you go. Micah Parsons, giant clip highlight package throughout the year. And he had the biggest circle medallion on his chain. It looked like a tiger. I wouldn't even want to pretend to dream of what that cost, as it was blinged out diamonds. It was awesome. So, no, we'll check out that speech, though. I know Whitworth, I read a story this week about Burrow in the aftermath of his injury last year in the rehab. He and Whitworth became buddies because he didn't know anybody. Whitworth was a Bengal, been a Ram for a while, you know, that connection between the teams out in L.A., and they kind of befriended each other. So I'm excited to watch that speech. High school hoops last night. Playoffs started out here on Paragon TV. Eric the girls, Lady Bearcats beat, what did you say Lone Wolf was? Coyotes?
I think that that's what I heard.
54-8. So Eric moves on to the district final against Sentinel. Sentinel Dispatch of Granite. So Lone Wolf and Granite season are over. Eric's Sentinel play in the district final tomorrow night over in Sentinel. Tonight, so the schedule looked like this in the playoffs for Class A and B tonight. Paragon TV, 6:30. You got the Leedy Lady Bison against Sharon Mutual Tologa. That game is being played in Hammond. So 6:30, Leedy Girls against Sharon Mutual Tologa. Right after that at 8 o'clock would be the Hammond Boys against Sharon Mutual Tologa. Those two winners, so the girls game, the winner will play Hammond tomorrow night at 6:30 in the district title game. The boys winner from up there will play Leedy at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. All that on Paragon TV. Tonight over in Sentinel at 8 o'clock, Eric and Lone Wolf boys will play. And then the winner will play tomorrow night against the Sentinel and who do they play? Granite. Sentinel Granite winner. The losers, obviously, they're done. Class A on Paragon TV tonight, two games. Cheyenne Raiden will play Thomas over at Arapahoe at 6:30. And then the exact same two will play at 8 o'clock at the boys' game. You have to win to move into the district finals. If not, you're out of the playoffs. So I mentioned what was happening tomorrow night in Leedy. I'm sorry, in Hammond. You've got Hammond versus that winner of the Leedy game tonight on the girls' side. Leedy boys will play the Hammond winner at 8 o'clock tomorrow night at Hammond, Paragon TV. We already know the girls' title game in Sentinel. It's Eric and Sentinel, 6:30 tomorrow night. The boys' game will be the winners of those games tonight. Then Cheyenne Raiden, if they're able to win, they'll play Arapahoe Butler. Arapahoe Butler waiting for tomorrow, 6:30 and 8 on the winners of Cheyenne and Thomas. And then Canute, you'll be over at Burns Flat tomorrow night, 6:30 and 8, waiting on the Burns Flat Dill City Snyder winners from tonight.
Right.
I'll be in Newcastle, Elk City in Newcastle. It's a 6:30 tip, 6:15 pregame. That's Big Elk TV, Cool 94 for radio, and then also Merritt and Mangum. Merritt goes to Mangum, Paragon TV, and they'll be right here on the radio, 98.1 FM and 1240 AM. Next to last regular season game for the Elkettes and Big Elks. I think this is it for Merritt. And then they start with district next week with Fairview coming out to Merritt there on Friday night. Elk City District Friday night as well. Those brackets were released yesterday. So Woodward coming down next Friday, a week from today, for the district tournament at the Pioneer Center. What else you got? Harden trade? What do you think?
I saw this headline, I guess. I think it was Trammell, who pretty much credited Sam Presti for having the hindsight of seeing that maybe Harden just doesn't play well with others. Is that a thing? I kind of brought that up. Is that a thing where he just can't get along? Was that ever a thing in Brooklyn? Or is it more of a thing like you think he just wants to be on his own, put up a bunch of numbers, working towards that next big contract?
I think he just wants the ball, yeah, and working that way with numbers. You know, in Philly, it feels like he'll have the ball in his hands because, you know, Embiid, mm-hmm. You can see that working. You can also see it not. Just depends on James's attitude. And I think an extension is the next thing in his mind, all about the money. I think it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's already, as part of that trade yesterday, he's already agreed to opt in to $47 million next year with the Sixers. Otherwise, they wouldn't make that deal. So they're going to have him for the end of this year and all of next contractually. But does that even mean anything? Think about what's happened over the last, 14 months? He forced his way out of Houston to Brooklyn, and now he quits on this team to go to Philly. I mean, if you're Philly, you can see why they did it, and because Morey is always the star-chasing type of guy in the GM. And a lot of times the star in any of these trades wins because the rest of the guys just – even collectively can't be as good as the main guy, right? But in this one, the Nets, if they – of course, it could be a big if with the mental state of Ben Simmons. But if you just look at, like, who fits that team, my gosh, Ben Simmons has to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've still got – a ball-dominant guy in Kyrie, Durant can have the ball or he can't. He does. You know what I mean? He's kind of a Swiss Army knife, and he does play well with others outside of maybe Russ. You know, since then, it's felt like he's kind of morphed his game around whatever everybody else needs him. And plus, he's the best scorer that we've seen, you know what I mean? I mean, at his size, and he can just sit out there and shoot it if that's what you want him to do or whatever. But if Simmons is right with Curry, with Seth Curry coming over in that deal with the shooting, you've got Drummond for rim protection, which they kind of need a little bit. Blake's not that guy, obviously, anymore. And so that makes sense for Brooklyn to do that deal. Philly, I think the reward is probably great if it works. But to me, Brooklyn wins this trade, even if Simmons doesn't work. You know why? Because you got Harden out of there, and now you don't have as many mouths to feed, and the team makes more sense. You know, even if Simmons does nothing, you've got Curry to shoot. You've got the ball in Kyrie's hands. It looks like he's going to get to play all the time here pretty quick with all the mandates going away. It makes a lot of sense for Brooklyn to me. And if I'm like Milwaukee, I'm like, damn, wish that wouldn't have happened. Or like Miami.
Yeah.
You're just like, but I hate to see that. Because one of the things that could tear them down was Harden and just the chemistry. But you know what's crazy? Did you see how many games those three played together in Brooklyn?
That the big three?
Harden, Kyrie, and Durant?
Not a lot.
16.
That's it.
They were 13-3, 5-1 in the playoffs. So it's not like it wasn't working. They just never played together.
Just never played together.
But Harden, you know.
Maybe I shouldn't be blaming Harden too much.
Harden did what Harden does. He gets fed up, and then he gains a bunch of weight, and he quits playing. And now they'll rub some Icy Hot on his hamstring, and he's liable to be out there tonight dominating the Thunder. He probably won't, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, that's all just a ruse to put his binky in his mouth and want to take his ball and go somewhere else. And that's what he's going to do. And he's done it twice now in the span of just over a year. And the teams continue to allow him to do it.
Chances of him being a 76er next season?
100%.
Really?
Yeah, he opted in already.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, he already opted in.
Didn't know that. Okay.
And there's no way they're going to trade. I mean, with what they gave up, you wouldn't think they would trade him in the offseason. Unless it just disintegrates.
I wouldn't put 100% on him. I'd put –
Morey loves that dude. Morey loves that dude.
Yeah, but when is he going to pull it again? I mean, it doesn't go the way he wants, and he wants to take his ball elsewhere.
Morey will ride him into the ground. He ain't – that's just the way he loves this guy. And I'm shocked that he got James Harden for Ben Simmons with the way this thing went. But at the same time, I think the Nets were so fed up with what was happening and also kind of seeing stars in their eyes with the possibility of what Simmons could add around. I mean, he just fits in. He can guard everybody. He can pass. You know, so basically what happened, Brooklyn traded a guy that does nothing without the ball for a guy that does nothing with it. Mm-hmm. And that fits perfectly into what they're trying to do. I think the Nets, ouch, for the rest of the East. Durant comes back healthy. Tough break.
Yeah.
Tough break for the rest of the NBA maybe even too. Because this, to me, fits perfect for Brooklyn. Perfect. And we'll see if James and Joel Embiid can get along.
That'll be interesting, too.
Everybody have a great weekend. High school hoops all over the area.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening. That ball-